1935, after I'd written my first little book telling of my adventures in Great Britain, a newspaper in Fleet Street said it's easy for these things to happen in a Christian country like England, where people are naturally kind-hearted. I believe God answers prayer all around the world. I thought if I were to go to Soviet Russia without money, without friends, that would shut them up. So I traveled on a coal boat. I was given a free ride on a coal boat all the way to Oslo with a load of coals. I arrived in Oslo. The Lord opened up doors there in a remarkable way. I haven't time to tell you of my adventures in Norway. But I traveled on down. I forgot to say I left with $2.50, about 11 shillings or 11 kroner. I arrived in Copenhagen. The temperature was down to zero. I didn't know anyone in Denmark, but I thought, now, what shall I do? I'd been told in Norway that there was a very fine Lutheran layman called Sørensen in Copenhagen. Get in touch with him. He knows everyone. I looked up the phone directory and discovered there were more Sørensens in Copenhagen than Smiths in Chicago. Sørensen is the commonest Danish name. I went out of the post office again and walked up and down swinging my arms to keep warm. I don't mind telling you, I was concerned about two things. One was, well, one thing in particular, a place to sleep. I didn't mind missing a meal, I didn't mind missing a meeting, but I didn't want to spend the night in the streets for two reasons. One was, you can die of cold and exposure when the temperature's down to zero, and second, if the police find me, they could deport me. Well, after walking around for a while, it suddenly came back to me, wasn't this man's name Nils Sørensen, N-I-L-S? I looked up the phone book, found only five of that name. So I made a note of their addresses. The first one was Nils Sørensen. It gave an address to Kleinsgata, to Little Street. I walked to his house. It took me an hour and a quarter finding it. It was cold. I rang the bell. It was an apartment block. A lady came to the door, so I began in my best Danish, versus Neil or Herr Sørensen here. If you please, is Mr. Sørensen here? She replied in Danish, but her Danish was quite different from my Danish. So I asked her the second time, if you please, is Mr. Sørensen here? She replied the same thing again. I was going to ask her the third time, she closed the door on me. I found out afterwards she thought I was a hobo. Well, I traveled all night, I'd slept in my clothes, I hadn't shaved that morning. So, she closed the door on me. Well, you know, it's useless to argue with a woman. She always gets the last word, and if you don't understand the last word, it's downright humiliating. I went downstairs again, when suddenly she opened the door and called me back. I waited. She went into the house and came out again with a red-covered book in her hand. It was my book, published in England 5 weeks before. She couldn't read English, but she saw my picture on the cover and recognized it. She said, photograph, tea, tea, tea. I replied in faultless Danish, ja, 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 ja. She brought me in. She talked to me in Danish. I couldn't understand her, so I talked to her in English. She couldn't understand me, so she phoned her husband. He spoke business English. He said, Mr. Orr, this sounds incredible. I said, what does? He said, Miss Anna Christensen, one of our Danish lady missionaries in China, sent me your book just last week and told us to pray that you would come to Denmark. He said, I read your book, I enjoyed it, I thought it would be wonderful if you could come and stir up our young people. I pray that you would come, but I never expected to see you. And now you telephone me from my own house. Let me talk to my wife again, please. They talked in Danish, and then she gave me back the phone, and he told me that Mrs. Sørensen wanted me to stay for lunch. Now, she couldn't speak English, I couldn't speak Danish, but we could both eat, so we ate. I came back at 5:30 for supper. I was hoping this nice couple would ask me to stay for the night. But they were a married couple without children. They didn't have an extra bedroom. It never occurred to them, I suppose. But during supper, Mr. Sørensen said, tonight, Mr. Orr, you will have the opportunity of speaking to 500 people. Well, I said, how do you arrange that so quickly? Oh, he said, we have a campaign going on. We have taken the ballroom of the Technical Institute in the city to reach downtown people. And he said, I have called Pastor Erik Larsen from Sweden, who was to preach and you will preach instead by interpretation. So I spoke by interpretation. Now some of you may have heard messages by interpretation. You know, you can't use a long paragraph, otherwise the interpreter might say, "I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that." You can't use slang, because they learn their English in books. A friend of mine from Philadelphia, Dr. L.L. Legters, was speaking by interpretation in Shanghai. He used an ordinary English expression. He said, "My friend was tickled to death." The Chinese looked at him for a while, then he told the congregation in Mandarin, "This I do not understand myself. Mr. Legter's friend scratched himself until he died." At 10 minutes past 10, the meeting was over. I stepped outside the institute. It was bitterly cold. I still had nowhere to sleep, so I lifted up my heart in prayer. Sorensen came out and slapped me in the back. He said, "Brother, that was splendid. Now I want you to do me a favor." I said, "What is that?" He said, "I want you to change your hotel." Now I said, "What for?" I should have said, "What with?" He said, "Down by the city hall there's a very excellent hotel run by Christian management. They give special rates to preachers." Now he said, "I will go with you to the hotel where you are staying to apologize that you change your plan so late at night. They may not like it." I said, "Look, you wait here. I'll get my own baggage." I left my suitcase in a candy store. I ran off, came back again. He said, "Well, you weren't long." I said, "No." "No trouble?" I said, "No." He said, "You mean they were not disappointed? You did not sleep there for the night?" I said, "Apparently not." "Well," he said, "that showed a nice spirit. Let me carry your bag." He said, "Of course," he said, "while you're in Denmark, you will be my guest." That was good news. I didn't have enough money to pay in advance. I'd arrived with 5 kroner, 5 shillings, about a dollar, in those days. Well, he took me to the hotel, introduced me to the booking clerk, and then he said, "Well, now, good night, Mr. Orr. I come for you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. After he left, the clerk, who was looking down his list, said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Orr, we don't have a single room in the house." My face must have showed a little dismay, because he said, "Oh, don't misunderstand, we have double rooms, we have family apartments, but the single rooms are all occupied, the others are more expensive." But he said, "Sorensen is such a good friend of ours, we'll let you have a more expensive room for the cheaper price." He took me upstairs, I followed him along the corridor. I was thanking God in my heart for the bed, which I hadn't seen yet. He threw open the door and switched on a light. There was a room as large as this room, with a piano stool, a sofa, 4 easy chairs, and 4 other chairs. I should say an easy chair and 4 other chairs, and 4 beds. And that man that knew nothing about my praying for a bed all day said, "You sleep in them, turn about if you like, we charge the same price." He thought that was a joke, but I didn't. I slept in all 4 beds that night. Well, if you had been walking around a foreign city all day not knowing where you're going to sleep at night and asking the Lord to send you a bed and he sends you 4, you might as well do something with it. Next morning when the maid came up to make the bed, she said, "Where is the rest of your family?" You say, "Well, what were you doing? Just traveling around having a good time?" No, I preached every night. Nobody knew I was coming, but I preached every night. I went back to Denmark after the war. I met a Lutheran clergyman who became leader of the Danish Christian underground after the Gestapo murdered Kai Munk. He was the equivalent of Bishop Berggrave in Norway. His name was Christian Holt. And he told me, "Je var omvendt til Gud. I was converted to God in your meetings in 1935. He had been editor of a daily paper, and I'd given him an interview. I didn't know he'd been converted then. So you see, I don't think that God gives us these answers to prayer just for fun, as it were, but for a purpose. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll have to skip Sweden, but when I got to Finland, I met a Swede in the YMCA there. When he heard that I was going to Russia, he thought I was crazy. He said, "Mr. Orr, they will not let one Bible into Russia, let alone one preacher." I said, "Well, I've come from Ireland. Here I am in Finland." He said, "Mr. Orr, you will never get in. You will never get in. You will never get in." I said, I've been praying about it. Perhaps the Lord will get me in. He said, I tell you, you will never get in. You will never get in. You will never get in. Well, I'm going to try. He said, I tell you, you will never get in. You will never get in. You will never get in. It seemed useless to argue with him further. He had a one-track mind. But when I went to the Russian consulate to get a visa and my passport, the young lady said to me, have you a ticket back to London? I said, no, I don't. She said, have you traveler's checks to show us? I said, I don't have traveler's checks. She says, how do you travel? Do you carry your money loose? Aren't you afraid of being robbed? Oh, I said, you mean do I have enough money to take me back to London? She said, yes. I said, no. She says, then how do you travel? Well, I said, you see, my father is very wealthy and he sends me whatever I need, whenever I need it. She said, well, can we get in touch with your father? I said, I'm referring to our Father who art in heaven. That stumped her for a while. Her lip curled and she said, I am a communist. I do not believe in religious superstition. But that is your affair. This is my affair. The regulations say unless you have a ticket back to the country of origin, you cannot enter the Soviet Union. I said, could I appeal to Moscow? She said, on what grounds? Well, I said, I've written a book. I'm going to write another one. Well, she said, all right, if you like to appeal to Moscow, a letter will take 1 month for reply. If you pay for telegram both ways, it will take 1 week. I paid for the telegram. The answer came back. They gave me a visa. I went to the Sweden, the YMCA. I said, what do you think of that? He wasn't impressed. He said, Mr. Orr, you will never get out. You will never get out. Well, some other time. By the way, Billy Graham said to me last time I was in Montreat with him, he said, Edwin, I wish you'd republish your stories of adventures. He said, they greatly helped me when I was a student in 1940. So I've been too busy. I'm working on a history of revivals and just working on another little book, textbook for students and so forth. Oh, that reminds me, some of the fellows asked me to bring the books along tonight. They didn't have the money with them last night. I should say to those who were not there last night that saying that I know that navigators don't have money for very long, I put it that way. I wouldn't say they don't have money, but don't have it for very long. I don't like to, make any profit out of them. But my publishers, for instance, won't let me sell a book under the published price. But they told me you can always give a book away if you want to. One of my little books, which is meant for students, it cost $1.45. The other cloth-bound one on the deeper life cost $3. If you want to have the two of them, you can have the price of one, the larger one, $3. That's $4.50 worth, $4.45 worth of $3. So if you want to, you can help yourself. That'll have to do for tonight, so the Lord bless you.